So the real test of whether or not it's time to get started is whether or not my mic works. And it looks like it does, so why don't we get going. My name is Tyler Barton. I'm a program manager from the Wireless and Networking Services Group in the Windows Engineering team. And I'm joined here by Damian Flynn. Damian is an architect at Lionbridge. Very lucky to have him here with me. Still have not received my signed copy of his book. He says it's in the mail. It takes a long time to get across the Atlantic, I suppose. But I'm still happy to have him here on stage with me. He's going to give us a little customer perspective on the new feature that I get to tell you about today, and that is the IP address management capabilities in Windows. So the session that I have for you is really demo heavy. I have never done so much live demo in front of so many people before, so I'm plenty excited about that. But it can be a little hard to follow, right, to keep up with all the stuff that we're doing, because slides are nice. One slide follows the other. When we're fooling around in the IPAM interface, you might lose track of where we are. And for that reason, I think I need to ask the audience to hold questions unless you've got something that's really relevant for the particular portion of the demo that we're in. Otherwise, I think we're just going to get derailed. So before I go into it, we've got session objectives and takeaways and all that. I just want to tell you now what the demos are, because they are the bulk of the session. We're going to spend a whole lot of time managing IP addresses, allocating with IPAM. Then we're going to do some server management with the technology, and we're going to finish up with some import-export functionality. So three big demos, and I'll keep coming back to those as we go. But that's the bulk of the time that I've got with you up on stage here. Okay, let's go. So session objectives and takeaways. What are we going to do today, session objective? Well, we're going to tell you everything we can about IPAM. Like I said, we're going to spend a lot of time fooling around with the actual product. So for those of you who haven't seen it, actually, it'd be really nice. Show of hands, who here has played with IPAM? Has anybody actually touched this yet? Okay, 3, 4, 5 people. That's great. Okay. Well, you guys shouldn't be bored either, because we're going to poke it pretty hard. But that's what we're going to do. We're going to look hard at IPAM. So a few things that I'd like you to take away from this session is knowledge about IPAM and what it's good for, or what its real purpose is, and that is that technology is meant to complement our DHCP and DNS offerings. So if you are a Microsoft shop and you're using Microsoft DNS and DHCP servers, our IPAM solution is something that's real simple and inexpensive. It's in the box. It's a server role, so it takes 10 or 15 minutes to set up. So it's something really, really easy and inexpensive that you can use to reduce network complexity, that is, if you are using Microsoft DNS and DHCP servers.
Tyler, it's fair to say that we could use this with non-Microsoft DHCP and DNS also?
You can't. So the technology is interoperable just with Microsoft products at this time. But we'll get into that later. We do have a lot of funky things that you can do to interface this with what you might already have, and we'll cover that through the session.
Fantastic.
Okay, so that's what we're doing. Hope everybody's in the right room. It'll be awkward if you leave. A lot of people will be looking at you. Okay. Which of the pillars do we fall into? The power of many servers, the simplicity of one. So we've got something that takes a lot of complexity, a lot of servers, and lets you manage from one place. That's where we fit. All right, understanding IPAM. Got a few slides before we jump into the first of our very long demos. Okay, some IP address management problems that I'm sure some of the people in the room have had, face, or will face. And the first one's pretty simple. I've got a lot of IP addresses, and I want to keep track of them and know where they are. All right, I'm sure somebody here has this problem. Okay, another one, I need to find a free IP address. So I've got a new device or something coming in. I want to statically assign something, and I want to make sure that I'm giving it an address that nothing else has. And then I probably want to keep track of that, too. Okay, a DHCP scope is full, so I've got a location where I'm not able to assign IP addresses. This sucks. You want to be able to assign a firefighting scope or take care of the problem, and it's good to have nice management software to do this efficiently. All right, another problem, I want to be able to change a DHCP option across a number of scopes or a number of servers. It's nice to be able to do that from one place. Here's one, I'm adding a new location, and I want to be able to assign IP addresses to it. And the last one that I have here, here we go. Tracking information about address assignments and changes to my DHCP servers for auditing, forensics, compliance, or any other number of reasons. So a couple of problems that we're trying to solve with our IPAM solution. Forgive me if I'm going fast. I'll try and keep the speed of the delivery down. Okay. Some options for IP address management. Let's take it back a year. A year ago, what would you have done to have solved any of these problems? Well, here's the first one, and it's a pretty obvious solution. I love Excel. It's a great program. You can use it to do a lot of stuff, and you can use it to do IP address management if you want, right? When you start off small, this is probably a pretty good way to go because, I mean, you can look at it all and manage it all. As you scale up, right, as your organization grows and your network increases in complexity, it actually gets expensive to do it this way because it's labor intensive and you make mistakes. And those mistakes end up sometimes putting people out of network connectivity, and then you lose the productivity of the people that you're supporting. So when you scale up really big, this gets difficult and expensive. We've got a dollar amount here assigned, estimated $10 per address per annum. I mean, that's at a certain scale. There's a lot of studies about this, how expensive it gets to manage IP addresses with spreadsheets. Pretty much everybody agrees, though, it gets expensive when you got a lot of addresses. And if you're moving to V6, those addresses get even a little more unmanageable because, I don't know, I mean, I've been looking at IPv6 addresses for a long time, and I still find it difficult to make mistakes, and probably always will. So as you move to V6, the spreadsheet becomes a further impractical way to keep track of everything. So here's another option. This is something else you can do. You can build your own piece of software if you want. You can build an in-house solution. Nice thing about this is you can, provided you've got the cash, you can customize this to do exactly what you want. The problem with that, of course, is if you have a highly customized solution, you better keep the people around that built it because it's going to be hard to maintain and further customize as your company grows and gets more complicated. So that's a big problem with building your own in-house solution is that that gets expensive too. So there's a third option, and that is you can go and buy something to take care of this. And there are a bunch of options out there that are pretty good. They do a great job. The problem with them, of course, is you've got to pay for them. And that can get expensive as well. So three options, three things that a year ago, this is what you would have done, spreadsheets, your own thing, or gone and bought some other product. So now it's 2012, and we have another option for you, and that is the IP address management functionality in Windows Server. So here's some properties of it, things that it's useful for. Okay, it's an inbox solution, like I said earlier, that's good for managing Windows DHCP and DNS servers. Primarily, right, what is this good for? What's the functionality that you're going to get? Well, it's a great way to keep track of a lot of IP addresses, make assignments, and watch how your addresses are being used in your network and organization. It can do automatic server discovery. So when you set this up, it's good at doing a lot of the work of data collection. We'll go and find servers and pull the information you want from them automatically so that you don't have to do that job. There's a great place where you can do central configuration of your DHCP and DNS servers. So from one console, you can manage a lot of machines that might be spread out and far apart. Okay, and I said this earlier, it's also something that can be used for auditing to track what's going on so you can keep track of what happens on my DHCP servers and how my IP addresses get moved around in my organization. So it's good for keeping track of what's happening with your IP addresses. All right, this is what we have for you. These are the components, real high-level architecture diagram of IPAM and how it all comes together. So first off, we have IPAM, the IPAM server. Here we go, and this is an inbox Server 2012 component. And it runs using the Windows internal database, so it's our own SQLite database. The important thing here is you don't need to have a separate SQL server in order to use IPAM. Everything's contained within the one Server 2012 IPAM role. Now, if you want to work with that IPAM server, you can do so. It looks like I can't get too far from this thing. All right, there we go. If you want to work with the IPAM server, you can do that remotely from Windows 8 using RSAT, or you can be on the box. So you need to have an IPAM client to connect to the IPAM server to play with it. Now, these two things communicate with a variety of other Microsoft products. So DHCP, DNS, DC, and NPS. It's an agentless architecture, so you don't need to install anything on these machines. Most of the communication is done via RPC. So that's how we communicate with these boxes, and that communication is done both directly by the IPAM client and also by the IPAM server. Pace okay for people? Are we going too fast or too slow? I just want to get to my demo really quickly. Okay, good. We've got a bunch of different roles, right, that can hack up. If you want to subdivide what you're able to do with the IPAM server, there's a few different things that you can do here. One thing, I'll just bring this up now, that you can't do is you can't break out administration on an IP address range by range basis. So we can't do that just yet, and that's a piece of feedback that I've heard a few times this week. And that's one of the reasons why we come here, to take feedback. But that's something that you can't do just yet. But there are a number of other ways that you can split up administration of IPAM. And here's a little sample of the groups that we have. Okay, if you want, you can set up multiple IPAM servers. You can do distributed deployment. you can scale up, and we have disaster recovery options. Okay, those are the pieces of IPAM. Oh, and last thing here, and this is really important. We have a whole section of the talk devoted to this. We've got a bunch of ways that you can interface IPAM with external systems. So we've tried to leave this open so that if you've got your spreadsheet or whatever it is you're doing right now, we can make it pretty easy for you to get the data from your existing system into IPAM, and then we also have tools to get the data out of IPAM back into your system so that you can still keep some of that software or process or whatever it is you're doing attached to IPAM going forward. So you're not just stuck with what we give you if you move over to our solution. We're going to talk about that in great detail. Actually, there's another slide on it right now, and this is sort of the basics of it all. There's two different ways that you can interface with IPAM, move data in and move data out. So the first is through the UI. If you want, you can import data, CSV data, into our user interface. And there's a lot of different places where you can do that. And you can really import just about any subsection of data that you can see in the IPAM user interface. Now, you can also export just about any screen that you can see in IPAM too. So via the UI, you can move data in and move data out. Now we've also got a bunch of PowerShell commandlets. So if you want to script this stuff, and I love PowerShell, I hope most of you do too, you can do that from the command line. So we've got PowerShell tools that will take what's in IPAM, spit it out, or take what you've got in a CSV file and import that in. So those are great mechanisms for moving data in and out, and we'll demo that probably in about 20 or 30 minutes. Okay, so that's interfacing with IPAM. Final thing there, I think I just covered that a second ago, that's the export to a data sync, whatever that may be. Okay. Why don't we get going? So let me show you the demo. I mean, I've been talking it up all this time. You probably all remember Contoso, right? I don't know how long we've been talking about Contoso, 15 years? Well, Dave and Mary Contoso decided that they want to expand from real estate, I think is what they do, and they figured that, you know, with this whole Avatar movie, they're going to go into space mining and go and collect unobtainium. So that's a pretty good diversification, I think, for Contoso. It turns out that unobtainium is a great metal for building pop cans, and everybody likes soda. So they're expanding very, very rapidly, and they're having a hard time adjusting their network to keep up with the extra infrastructure. So IPAM looks like a good solution, at least for their IP address management. So here's a quick look at what Contoso looks like. They've got a couple of different buildings. We're going to talk mostly about Area 42. Although all of this is just extra fluff around the core IPAM demo, we're going to be talking about Area 42, where they've got four zones, and they've got four buildings, each of which has 10 floors. So they've got a bunch of places where IP addresses are being handed out. Just a quick look, a little fictional scenario, just to make the actual demo a little bit meatier. Okay, so this is what they're going to do with the solution, and I'm going to try to stick to this workflow as much as I can as soon as I switch over to my demo machine there. So if you're using IPAM, there's a few ways or good concepts to keep in mind for moving between the different stages of IP address allocation and management. So the first thing that you're probably going to do with your organization, especially if you've got a greenfield new location, is you're going to plan. Right? You want to figure out where are the IP addresses going to go ahead of time. So that's the first step. We're going to plan. Where are the blocks? What are the ranges? What are my DHCP scopes going to be? Okay, the second thing is you're going to allocate. So once you've decided where the addresses are going to go, it's time to put them in place and have dynamic assignments or create whatever static assignments you're going to want in each of the locations. Okay, once you've done that, it's time to monitor. So once you've assigned some of these IP addresses, you're going to have infrastructure coming in and out, and you want to make sure that the IP address ranges that you've dedicated are good enough to make up for or to help out all of the people that are moving into the buildings that you're administering. And then the final thing in here is auditing or tracking. So you want to make sure that other people aren't doing bad things. And there are many reasons why you might want to keep track of all of the changes that are happening on your infrastructure. So four different things. I'm going to try and demo, try and keep to this order. So we'll talk about planning. We'll do some allocation. We'll look at a little monitoring in this section. And then I'll show you some of the stuff that we collect that can be used to track what's going on. So I'm going to try and stick through those four steps. Okay, let's switch over to the demo machine now. I'm going to be behind the desk for a little while. Okay, let's see here. Let me just log in. All right. Ooh, color got funky on us.
Yeah.
That's just loose. What happened to us? Yeah. Well, I mean, I like pink, but I don't like it that much.
We got some of the engineers that might help.
Well, okay. Thanks, gentlemen. So I don't know if I should just get going with this or whether or not we want to try and fix the ping. I don't know. I feel like a show of hands, but I better be... Okay, great.
Well, you got him.
Thanks for the patience. You know, I think of all the colors that this might have been tinted with, really, pink? I must have done something wrong this morning, anyhow. Okay, well, we'll probably get this fixed. I'll just tell you about the demo that I have up here. We're going to pop into, we can look at just a tiny bit of this before I get going. So here's Hyper-V. This is a bunch of virtual machines that I've got running on a laptop up here that might well come with backpack straps. It's so big. Forget about all the ones that are marked BCXPREM. That's from another talk. We were showing off some other networking functionality. The top VMs, though, the top four, are the ones that we're going to use in this session. So the very top one that's highlighted is IPAM. It's running the IPAM server role, and it's keeping track of the stuff that's going on the other VMs up there. Then we've got a domain controller, and we've got a DHCP server, and we've got another machine that's a combo DHCP and DNS server. So we're going to be moving around stuff on those four virtual machines. Now, the first thing I'm going to do as soon as we de-pink the screen is I'm going to create a new IP address block. So a block is just a container for a bunch of ranges or scopes. It's just a big chunk of IP addresses. So I'm going to create one of those, and then what I'm going to do is create a couple of IP address ranges within that block, and I'm going to make some DHCP scopes out of those, and we're going to assign them to some servers, and then we're going to go and look for some addresses. So that's what's coming up here. I'm really stealing my thunder here, but I think it's worth covering. We can always turn the resolution down in a second. This is a last-minute tweak we made. I should know better than to do so, but I decided to increase the screen resolution about 20 minutes ago, and I'm paying for it now. Okay, well, you know what? We can probably get onto the IPAM server while he is trying to get the pink out of there. I don't know. Is that okay? And I think we now have a three-man presentation team. It was two before. Okay. So let's take a look at this. So here's our IPAM server. I thought I was going to have it on here, but that doesn't look like that's happening. So that's okay. Let's do this for a second. I've already created enough problems for you. The IPAM console was built into Server Manager, and here's a quick look at it. This is what you're going to start up with. So there are a few tasks that you have to take care of when you start using IPAM, right, when you start using this console. I mean, you've got to set up your server, but it really doesn't take very long to install the IPAM role and get everything going. Once you've done that, you've got to connect up to an IPAM server, and then you have to configure your IPAM server to discover the DHCP and DNS and DCs that you want it to. So the simplest way to do that is to provide it with a domain and have it go off and find all of the servers that you want to manage. If you want, you can manually add them one by one. This is something that we'll cover again in the server manager, or the second portion of my demo. You know what? This could be worse. So I was giving a talk yesterday, and midway through my demo, just before the very best part, I don't know if anybody saw this. All right, well played, gentlemen. I was going to say yesterday, I shouldn't talk about what worse things can happen, because then they're going to happen. But yesterday, I had VMs power off at just the wrong time. It was great. So let's pray that this, I don't know if this is wood, but it's press board, but let's hope that doesn't happen this time around. I think my friends back in Redmond like to play some practical jokes with me. So what do you say, Tobias? So it's actually a four-man team. Thanks, Tobias. Toby, I appreciate that. Okay. Can I switch that to over here? Is that possible? Sorry about the fooling around.
No.
Wait. Okay. And then I want this on there and there. Is that possible?
No.
Okay.
This is the preview. That's a
problem. Okay. Great. That's fine. Okay. So I'm gonna be looking over my shoulder. So you're gonna have to say something if you want me to stop or you want to have one of those in context questions. But here we're looking at the IPAM console. Okay. So there's a bunch of stuff that you can do here. But what we're gonna do, we're gonna start off with, is we're going to assign or we're going to create a new IP address block. So almost all of these things over here on the left, we're going to duck into each one of these sections at one point or another in the talk today. Okay, but the first thing that we're going to do is create a new IP address block. So if we look at this right now, okay, this is filtering showing us IP address ranges or IP addresses. Let's take a look at the blocks that are provisioned. So we've got a bunch here. These are ones that I was doing just this morning. Let's create a new one. So we'll go up to tasks. And we'll add an IP address block, okay, and we need to give this a network ID. Man, this is a weird way of doing it. Let's take a look at what else we have up there. Okay, so let's go with 10.21. Okay, so there we go. That's going to give us a good chunk of IP addresses to play with right now. There's a few other things that we can set here if we want to set the date that this was last assigned or created. And let's choose today. That would be honest. Okay, there we go. So we have a new IP address block now, 10.21.0. If you catch me referring to a different number other than 21 later, please shout that out. That could get awkward. So we have a new container from which we can create IP address ranges now. So this isn't useful in and of itself, because all this is a holder for the ranges and scopes that we're actually going to play with. Okay, pardon me. Okay, so let's create an IP address range. Let's take a look at the ranges that are already assigned. Okay. Here we go. There's a few. So you can see that I've already filtered this. Oh, great. Thanks, Damien. Actually, I don't know if that's better. But let's just remove the filter for a second here. Okay, we can see there are already a lot of ranges assigned. Now, for this demo, a lot of this is fabricated material, right? We've only got a couple of servers. But later on for the monitoring, we've put a lot of stuff in place so that we've actually got some meat to play with in the demo. Okay, so here we're going to create a new IP address range that we'll play with. Okay, here we go. So we've got a start and an end. So we're going to create a subnet here. You'll notice this is going to default to managed by IPAM. We'll talk about that in a second. And the assignment type is going to default to static. But I think we should be good to go here right now. There's some custom information that we can add if we want to this IP address range. So if there are human elements that we want to associate to this chunk of IP addresses, we can do it here to help with our tracking. Right? So to begin with up top, 80 site is one thing that you could choose, but why don't we go with building? Let's stick this in. How about building 4? We'll choose that. Okay. And then let's choose one of the, not building, let's choose a floor as well. Okay, so let's associate this with, how about 4-4? That sounds good. Okay, so we've got a little extra metadata attached here. Let's just make sure that I've got everything in correctly. Okay, I think we're all right. Okay, great. So we just created a new IP address range. Now let's go looking for it. Okay, there we go. So we've got a new IP address range that we can use that we can go and play with. Okay, so let's take a look at the existing DHCP scopes that we have on those two servers that are out there. So if we jump in here, this is unfiltered. Here we've got a whole bunch of DHCP scopes that those two DHCP servers that I have are managing. There's a bunch here. And you can see there's already some for building 4. Right, so what we can do is we can now create a DHCP scope out of that range that I just created. So one of the easy ways that we can do that is we can take a DHCP scope that's already in building 4, and we can duplicate it. Okay, so now we'll create a start. Let's see here, 10. Let's go with 21.1.1. Okay, 10.21.1.254. Okay, so we've created a new DHCP scope here. There's a bunch of other options that we can immediately set if we want. But I don't think we need to right now. I think we'll be good to go.
Set the mask.
I'm sorry. Is the mask incorrect?
255, 255.
Oh, thank you, Damien. I appreciate that.
So when you made that duplication, will that have pulled over on all of the options that were defined as well for that scope?
That's right. That's the idea. So Damien's comment there, would we have copied over everything else from the existing scope? And the answer is yes, and this is why it's an easy way to create a new scope. We're just going to copy everything that was there before and add in the new chunk of addresses that we want to be available. So boom, there we go. It's going to take a second. All right. So let's just take a look here, 10.21. So we have this ability to filter. You see that I'm using it quite a bit in this demo. I'm just going to look for everything beginning with 10.21. And there we go. There's the new scope that I just created, and it's active, and it's good to go. So we've just used IPAM to create a new scope. Okay, now let's do something else that would be fun from here. Why don't we go and use this console, and we are going to assign an IP address out of this scope that we just created. And we can do it right from this view. I can right-click this. Oh, wait, I can't. I need to go back up into our IP address ranges. Pardon me. Whoops. Okay. Here we go. So I'm sorry, I was trying to do this from the wrong portion of our UI. I'm going to go back into the IP address ranges, and here's the IP address range that I just created a scope for. And I'm going to find and allocate an IP address. So here's our UI that we have. And you see what this tries to do, first of all, IPAM is going to go and try and select the first available address in the range that we want to assign out of. So in this case, 10.21.1.1. And then it's going to go and try and ping that address, and it's going to go and look for a DHCP record associated, a DNS record, excuse me, associated with that address. So we're going to go and do a little checking to make sure that we're not allocating something that somebody else is using. So then as soon as this is correct, all right, there we go. It didn't get the ping status tells us that there's nothing else using the address and there's no DNS record. So it looks like we're probably good to go. We can assign this to somebody. Does it check the reverse zones as well?
No.
It doesn't. Yeah, thanks, Damien. It doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Great in-context question, by the way. Okay, here we go. So we can, if we want, I'm just going to assign a MAC address. This is optional, but we might as well put something in here because it'll show up later and it will help us with this. Ba-ba-ba, 2C345566, okay. It's going to be managed by IPAM. There's a few other things that we can do here. Why don't we'll put in a description and we'll call it, let's call it Tyler's device. Okay, that'll be fun. Okay, what else might we want to assign here? Let's do this. This will be fun. Let's give it an expiry date that's coming up. So I'm just going to have this IP address through Saturday, and that'll come back. We'll take a look at that later on. But this might be an important function for you if you're assigning a static address. Maybe you don't want it to be available or valid until the end of time, and you want to reclaim it later to make good use of this static address. So I'm going to assign here an expiry date that will help us keep track of this address over time. Okay, so let's do this too. We'll call this, once again, Tyler's device. So we're going to want this device to be named. And something that IPAM can do is we can assign a static address, and we can also create a DNS record all using this console. So let's do both of those things together. Okay, so I'm going to call this. Let's just call it Tyler. Okay, we're going to find me. That's going to be my IP address from now on. Okay, and let's put it in just contoso.com. Okay, let's leave that. Okay, great. So I think I got it all. All right, so let's go looking for that address now. The address is 10.21. So again, now you can see this. There's a few different ways that we can, a few different views for the information we have. I hope everybody sees this okay. We can go and check out blocks, ranges, and individual IP addresses if we want. So I've been switching between the views, and what I just did now was I went for a list of all of the IP addresses. And I punched into that box up top, if you can't see it quite right, 10.21, knowing that the only assigned IP address, right, from that range is the one that I just came up with. And guess what? We pulled up that static assignment that I just made. There it is, right? There's Tyler. You can see the MAC address that we just put in a moment ago. Then the other thing is, notice in the second column, there's expiry status. So we said that this was going to expire on Saturday. So that's pretty soon. So it's going to expire. And that's up there enlisted. Okay, so I decided that I wanted to have a DNS record associated with this assignment. So that's not actually done quite that automatically. I'm going to right-click this guy, and I'm going to say create a DNS host record. So let's do this. And boom, we have a DNS host record. So let's look down here in the details. I think this should all be refreshed. Okay, ba-ba-ba. Okay, DHCP, DNS host record sync. Create success. Okay. So down in the detailed view here, you can see what's actually gone on. We created a record, and it's out there that we can go and use. Okay. So I think that's about the summary. Is that what I promised I was going to show with the basic IP address management tasks? I think that's about right.
One thing you mentioned maybe about the utilization of the scope, how much is used.
Oh, yeah. So should we do that now? Let's go back. We'll cover that in the server management section. Okay, so we'll come back and look at scope utilization. You're right, Damien. Let's do that right now. Okay, so something that's very useful to do with IPAM is you want to take a look at how much of any given scope is being used, how many addresses have been assigned out of the range. So we can do that with IPAM. See this properly? Here we go. Okay, so here we're looking at a bunch of IP address ranges now, and you can see over there in the far left-hand side is the utilization. And so what we do is we've got parameters that decide whether or not a particular scope or range is underutilized, optimal, or overutilized. And you can customize that yourself if you want. So up here in the manage server manager properties, or is it tools? I forget where I put my own stuff. Okay, IPM settings, I'm sorry, there we go. In IPM settings, there's a few things that you can configure or customize. The first is for each end of the, any of this stuff, you can decide what the headers are gonna be that you'll look at. We'll come back to that later. Here you go, this is configure utilization threshold. And I wasn't lying, 20 and 80 are the two boundaries. You can turn those up or down and customize them as you wish. But what will happen is when you go and look at utilization, we're gonna check for the number of IP addresses within that range that are handed out or not, and we'll tell you whether or not the use of that range is optimal or if you're getting hot and need a little bit more space. So this is a good way to check on what's, or rather how clients are using the IP addresses that you have. Thanks, Damien. This is a convenient time to do that. Okay. I think that's about everything that I wanted. The only other thing would be looking at the event catalog. So if we pop in here, we can keep track of all of the stuff that's been done. You can see this machine is set up at about the beginning of June. All the stuff that's been done with IPAM and the other servers. So let's take a look here, 627, 658. Oh, man. This kind of stuff doesn't help me with the jet lag, looking at weird dates and times. Here we go. So this is an action that we just took, right, which is we assigned a couple of addresses. I think that's a little bit earlier. I managed to confuse myself. The point is any actions or any changes are available in the event catalog. You can export this info if you want and process it in any number of other ways to incorporate it into your business logic or auditing if you wish. All right, that's a lot for one demo, and that's just one of three. So let's switch back to the slides and talk about some other stuff now. All right, so did I stick with this? Track changes, monitor utilization, allocate, implement. Yeah, I think we did each of these things. So we started off by creating a block, we created a range, we created a scope, we assigned an address, and then we looked at utilization, and we talked about the auditing capabilities. So I think we did all of this stuff. All right, I'm going to keep moving on because of the deep pinking. I want to make sure that we move fast. Let's talk about, that was the demo, and this is the recap, the many things that you can do, but I think we've covered this and don't need to spend more time on this slide. Is there anything else? Okay, no, we're good. Let's get into the next section of the talk, and that is multi-server management. So we're going to jump into a demo pretty quickly with this, but one of the things you can do with IPAM is manage multiple DHCP servers and monitor multiple servers all in one go. Okay, so the very first thing is you want to build a server inventory, and I talked about this a little earlier. We can go and scan through Active Directory and pull out all of your DNS, DHCP servers in a particular domain. So we can go and build that list for you automatically, but it's the first thing to do. If you want to do manual entry and deletion and all that, that's fine, of course, as well. Okay, once you have all of them, it's possible that you're going to want to make changes to a set of DHCP servers all in one place, all in one go. And, of course, that's possible with IPAM. It's very useful to be able to monitor multiple servers. It's possible to monitor multiple DHCP servers and monitor DNS zone health. So that's about all we're doing in this release with DNS monitoring is we're checking out zone health, and we're making sure that your primary server is available, and if a secondary goes down, we'll warn you about that as well. So we're just doing a little bird's eye view of what's going on with DNS with this product. Okay, the last thing, once again, tracking changes. Anytime we're doing any of this stuff, we record and collect all of the information that, again, you can use for auditing compliance, whatever you might need it for. Okay, back into the demo. So right back to the screen. Not much of a break there. I hope that's okay. Okay, so we sort of looked at this a moment ago. If you go back into the early section, the early stuff here with IPAM, sorry, mouse is cranky. Okay, here you go. This is configuring server discovery. So we've already done this, but I'll just show you now. You can just add a domain in here, and we'll go and pick up all of the servers that you want to be able to play with. Okay, and then I can show you our server inventory if you want. Here you go. This is the list of servers that are being managed by IPAM in this demo. So you've got a domain controller, a DHCP server, and our DHCP DNS machine up there as well. So it's just three VMs because this is just a kid stuff demo. Got to fit on my laptop. Now, if we want, we can pop into DNS and DHCP servers down here and look in a little bit more detail. So here we've got two DHCP servers, and I've also got one DNS server that we can go and take a look at as well, or the domain controller as well, too, I suppose. But let's go back into DHCP, and let's say that we want to... Oh, okay, sorry, this is a useful thing. I should show you this. Pardon me, I'm just referring to my notes. This is something that you can do with the... DNS servers as well as the DHCP servers is you can launch the MMC to go and do whatever it is that you can't with IPAM directly this way. So just a convenient option that I'd like all of you to know about. Okay, we don't really need to do any of that just now. Okay, here's a fun thing that I can do. Let's take off this filter. Let's take a look at all of the DHCP scopes. So I just jumped back from the DHCP server list into the scope list. Now imagine that I want to do something like change one of the DHCP options for a whole bunch of scopes all in one go. I may want to change proxy settings. Maybe I want to change. Actually, let's do it in this case. Let's go and change the DNS server associated with each one of these scopes. So just going to select a bunch of these. We just do it kind of randomly. Let's say let's mess around with building one. That'll be fun. Okay, so I'm going to select a bunch of the scopes in building one, and I'm going to edit them. And whatever changes I make will be applied to each one. So let's do this. I'm going to pop into options here. And let's change, Let's go ahead and change the DNS server. So we can just toss in whatever we want here. Let's go with 10.2.3.4. Okay. I'm going to add this to the list. So this is a new option. I have the option to resolve it there, but of course that's not going to work because I just made this up. You don't actually have another DNS server in the demo to play with. But what I'm going to do here is I'm going to overwrite that setting for these scopes. And I'm going to click. Do I need to add the list again?
Yeah, because unfortunately you changed the top option.
Right, okay. Thanks, good catch. And I'll click OK and success, and we're done. So we've just gone and changed the DNS server for each one of these scopes all in one go. So that's an example of something, one of our multi-server management capabilities. It's the ability to modify a bunch of settings all from one place to try and keep things simple.
There was something interesting there in that drop-down list where you had a find and replace option.
Yeah, why don't we take a look at that? That's a great one, Damien. Okay, so let's imagine for a second I don't remember exactly which of these scopes that I played with, because the reality is actually I don't. So I'm just going to select all of these now, and I'm going to go back in and edit all of them all in one go. Okay, so you might recall a second ago I chose this option. What is the configuration action that we're going to take with each of these DHCP scopes? So a second ago I chose overwrite. Let's do this. Let's go with find and replace. So I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to find DNS servers. Okay. And what's the value to find, right? That was, what did I choose? 10.2.3.4, right?
Yeah.
Okay. 10.2.3.4. And let's set it to 10.0.0.1. Now, I could choose the correct DNS server, but I don't remember exactly what its IP address is. This should be fine. Okay, so I'll add this to the list. And what we'll do is, for all of those scopes, we're going to go and find that funky value that I assigned and change just the ones having that value back to this one. All right, so it's again, a good way to filter through a whole bunch of stuff and just change whatever it is that you feel needs to be updated. So we can do that, and we're good to go. Okay, so that's an example of our multi-server management capabilities. I don't know, we didn't look at DNS all that often. If you pop in here into DNS zone monitoring, these are the DNS zones that I showed you in the PowerPoint deck way back when. We do monitor zone health, and we check for whether or not the primary is up. If your secondary is down, we'll show you yellow. If the zone, if the primary is down, we'll show you red. So we're just checking up on DNS zones here in the IPAM product. Okay.
Yep, that's good.
Okay, I'm going to pop back to the deck now. And we're going to start a new section. All right, so here's, again, the list of things that you can do. We can discover and add servers. We can edit DHCP properties. We can do a little look at DNS and DHCP scope utilization. And again, we can track configuration changes. Okay, into the third section. This is one of my favorite. So importing and exporting data. Now, I mentioned earlier that we can do this from the UI, and we can also do this with PowerShell. So if you've got existing stuff that you want to move in, great. You might have noticed we have a lot of extra fields associated with ranges and IP addresses and all that. You can customize that if you want. So if in the system that you have right now, you have additional human understandable data associated with your ranges or scopes or whatever, we can accommodate that with the custom fields in IPAM. So that's, I just want you to know that. Okay, the next demo that we have is we're going to move some data into and out of Active Directory domain services. So I'll show you in a second, we've got a bunch of sites that are not really populated. And we're going to move some of the data that's in IPAM into AD using a PowerShell script. Okay, I'm sure everybody in the room is familiar with Active Directory sites and such. An AD site is a way of associating a bunch of IP address ranges with a location, right? And then there may be things or custom things, customizations, things that you want to do with that one particular location, and that's what the sites are useful for. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to take data. The script that we have actually does data. It moves it two ways. But we're going to use it to export data from IPAM and then import it into AD. And again, we're going to do this with PowerShell. If we want to keep it consistent over a period of time, we can have a scheduled task to make sure everything stays in sync. We actually have that, but we'll just keep it simple for this this next leg of the demo that I have for you. Okay, let's pop back in. I'm going to show you the script that we have. I think that's the most fun of all of this. Okay. So if I look here in IPAM, I've just got this sitting on the C drive right here. Let's just edit this, and I'll show you. It's kind of a complex script, so we're not going to pick it apart piece by piece. That's fine. But what this thing does is it's going to take, like I said earlier, it's capable of moving data both ways. It can take site data from AD, parse it, and put it into IPAM by moving it through a CSV file. Likewise, the script is also capable, a little bit further down here, this is also capable of taking the data from IPAM and cutting it up and inserting it into AD according to the format that Active Directory expects. So it can move data both ways. Okay, let's take a look at our domain controller.
So a useful scenario there would be effectively the network guy goes into IPAM, he defines that new site for the new office that you said that Contoso were opening on the moon, and now instead of calling the AD guys, he can just run the script and he'll update sites and services for us.
That's perfect. Thanks for the perspective, Damien. That's perfect. Something that something like this might be useful for. And again, this is just an example of one of the things that you might use the external data integration in IPAM for. Okay, so if we look at our domain controller here, I've got AD sites and services. And if we look at subnets here, it's completely blank. We don't have any information in there at all. But if I pop back into IPAM now, and I run this script, which we can make available, by the way. Let's see, I just want to make sure it's in the right place. Yeah, here we go. If I run this script, import failed. What have I done wrong? Write error. It should be okay. I'm sorry. Sometimes we use an intermediate that it doesn't like, but that shouldn't be the problem. What's that? They should be imported at the beginning. Should be available, right? Oh, what is that AD module?
Get module list available, or just get module to show you what's ordered.
No, this should work as is.
It is.
But the
the demo gods.
Yeah, I'm sorry, guys. I'm too caffeinated to think through every little detail. I'm not quite sure what went wrong in the initial run of that, but it looks like we're okay now. I'm going to pop back into AD, and I'll show you that the ranges are there now. So let's just refresh this. Okay, there we go. So this is all the info that we had from IPAM. And again, just an example of that import and export functionality that we have, moving stuff out of IPAM and moving it in using PowerShell. So I'd like to think some other people in the room have got scenarios like this and be able to use this functionality that we've got. Okay, I'll just show you one other thing. Let's pop back into IPAM and back into PowerShell. Okay, so let's... Okay, cool. So I'm going to call a PowerShell commandlet here, and I'm going to show you a little dump of the information that we have, IPv4. Okay. I've just invoked a PowerShell commandlet that we have that's dumping IP address information to the screen. So we can export this into CSV, or we can capture it any number of ways that we want. But I'm just showing you another commandlet that we have that will just dump out information. So again, just giving you a taste of the import-export functionality that we have. Okay, I think I've covered what I want, right? It's pretty basic, stuff to move data in and stuff to move data out. And with those, I hope we should be able to interface with the systems that you already have in place or allow you to extend IPAM however you see fit. Okay, I'm going to go back to our deck. This is something that's going to be new in System Center Virtual Machine Manager 2012 SP1 and CTP2. They have a script that will take IP address information from SCVMM and allow you to move it into IPAM. Now, it's one way, but it is something else that is using this additional functionality that we have built into IPAM to allow you to capture IP address information from your managed virtual machine. So that's something I want to make sure that you're all aware of. It's coming out in that product in CTP2.
Which shipped just over a week ago.
Okay, great. Yeah, you're good to go then if you want to go and check that out and poke around with it. Okay, so a quick summary of what we did and what we talked about with IPAM. We talked about IP address space management, how we're able to capture and take a look at the utilization of IP addresses and such. Looks like the next section, or one of the capabilities of IPAM and Server 2012 is that ability to do server and asset auto-discovery. Looks like my slide animation's a little funky. We did some demos with multi-server management where we went and set configuration options and managed multiple devices all at once, and we looked at DNS zone health. We've talked a great deal about the ability to capture and look at changes and such that have been made for auditing and compliance. We didn't talk a great deal about the deployment options with IPAM, but again, you can have multiple servers for high availability and stuff. It is a very simple thing to set up and deploy, so I do encourage you to go and take it for a spin. Check it out. It's something you can play with in probably 30 or 40 minutes, and you can do much more than I've done in just this demo. And we do have the ability to scale this up and have multiple points of presence and manage, although I must say that an individual IPAM server can manage a great deal of DHCP and DNS servers, but if it's not enough, you can use multiple servers to scale up to your needs. So that's some of the highlights of IPAM 2012. I hope you all feel like you got a good look at the product with the length of live demo that we did. I'm going to let Damien tell you a little bit about his experiences with the product now, and then we'll take a good long chunk of time for Q&A, and we'll be hanging out afterwards. So I'm going to turn you over to Damien.
Thank you, Tyler. Thank you. So a quick introduction just before we go anywhere. I'm an IT architect and working for Microsoft's TAP and Futures Council, I think, going back 4 or 5 years ago when we started down the road for Windows 2012 at this point. We're part of the TAP program and the Rapid Deployment Services, and IPAM is something we've been working with for the last number of years. My focus is pretty much on the Active Directory, the Exchange, and core infrastructures, and I'm an MVP for Data Center Cloud and Services, and that comment that Tyler made with the integration for VMM is something that is certainly of a lot of interest to us as we work through the rest of using IPAM for managing our environment. I work for a company called Lionbridge, and we are basically a service provider. And the organization is a global organization providing localization and translation services to the companies of the world that need to ship stuff in multiple languages. And as part of that, we have to build an infrastructure as such that has lots of different sites and lots of IP addresses as a result that needs this management functionality. So for us, what we've done with IPAM and how we implemented it was through our core Active Directory environment, single Active Directory forests covering something like 45 field offices and a pretty much similar number of DHCP servers running as primary. And in each of those locations, then we have secondary DHCP servers which are running in standby mode. But that, again, with Windows 2012 is now starting to change where we can have active-active and some failover replication and some pretty cool things coming down that line. Each of our sites has a single domain controller, and that also backs up as our DHCP server and our DNS server. And then for managing our Wi-Fi and our direct access and stuff like that, we've added into that environment some MPS servers. So these are together effectively the modules that we set out initially to manage through the IPAM environment. Now, one of the first things we learned pretty quickly through this whole exercise was that in order to manage this stuff in IPAM, there are some basic requirements for the automatic discovery. And the first of those is effectively that the servers themselves must be Windows 2008 or higher for the automatic discovery to work. So Windows 2003 domain controllers or DHCP servers or DNS servers as such don't actually get auto-discovered. The auto discovery itself is based on the domain and is based on group policies, and it's all managed automatically through the IPAM console. You don't have any work to do, such as setting up the group policies, going in, tweaking them, and assigning them. Everything for that process is done right in the middle of that IPAM process. So when you launch the IPAM for the very first time, he's actually going to ask you to go to do the discovery, and during that process, he's building those group policies, linking them to your Active Directory domain, but not actually assigning them to any servers. He will go ahead, though, and he'll run through and he'll do a discovery, and he'll come back with a list of all the sorts of stuff that exists in your environment. And you start away with this whole idea of an environmental audit, and that's pretty interesting. After running Active Directory for 10 or 12 years, having lots of sites start up and shut down, you have domain controllers come on and offline, you have DHCP and DNS servers, lots of different changes going on, and you think you've got a good view of what the world looks like. The spreadsheets, in essence, they go out of date and they're accurate to the last point you've saved them. This stuff starts opening up the lights and you start realizing, oh, I didn't know that server was there. And that explains why this particular crowd are always complaining, because their DHCP or their DNS ranges are set up wrong and I didn't catch that on the backup server. So all of a sudden we get that vision that we hadn't previously seen of what's going on in the environment and why. Now, the challenge really was about how do you get around convincing the business that you want to take something like IPAM and start deploying it. You didn't have it before, and the spreadsheets, in essence, they work. Well, IPAM is one of those things which has a zero impact, and there's not many times we can actually turn around and say that. But in this particular case, it's certainly very true. IPAM's architecture, as we've already seen with Tyler, is very much a centralized SQL server as that Windows internal database, and all he's doing is reading. He's basically going out around the world, picking up all that information from the domain controllers, the HTTP servers, the DNS servers, and the MPS servers, and bringing them all back home centrally so that we can go through and do that reporting. It's only after that point that you've got the stuff in the central view that you decide that, okay, now I want to have permissions to push out stuff. And even then, you still have to have permission as a DHCP admin or a DNS admin provided for the IPAM services to be able to do their work. And we've seen there's a very rich roles-based solution for controlling who can and can't do that when you go through that process. So in essence, that process is really, really good. Now, why do I bother doing this? After pushing out IPAM to the world and finding out all my new DHCPs and DNS servers, the first question a lot of people are asking, why bother with the domain controllers? And it's a pretty good question, actually, because the domain controller is getting this IPAM services put out to it, but it's not actually running DHCP or DNS if you turn it off. So then what else is it offering? Well, it actually offers authentication information. And IPAM has this whole idea of doing tracking that can go back as far as forensic analysis. And he'll actually go through the logs and he'll basically say that Damien logged onto this machine from this IP address. And that's enough information for me to start mapping users to IPs back to machines, which is something we haven't really been able to do too well before with our spreadsheets. So initially, the wins for pushing out things like IPAM simply in a read-only mode is very simple. Now, how do we do this and how hard is it? When Microsoft released the release candidate versions of Windows 2012, I started this on a Saturday morning, figuring out I'll do this when there's nobody working or anything going on. I went into the Add Windows Roles and Features, selected the option for IPAM, logged into the console and says start the deployment, and went away. I come back about 2 hours later, and I basically seen my world. I had nothing else to do other than let IPAM do its job, and immediately I already had this ability to see all these servers listed on that console, but without the green icon. Instead, they were coming with a little red icon or a yellow icon saying, I'm unmanaged. I'm not actually querying these servers yet. I've just got you an audit back telling you where the servers are. A little right-click on each of those to say, okay, please, manage them. And all that was happening in the back end is the group policy has been modified, and now this group policy gets applied to that particular server I've decided has DHCP or DNS that I want to audit. And again, wait for the group policies to refresh, and IPAM starts gathering information and the database is done. So I worked awful hard on that Saturday, to be honest. And when I come back in on the Monday morning, I was able to turn around and say, oh, by the way, lads, did you know we've got these many DHCP servers and this stuff going on? That's how hard it is. So it's an extremely simple win. Very little work to be done to get a lot of information back in. And then when you start thinking about all of those things that are going on as network people are trying to add more networks around their organization, and they're always bugging you to say, I need this done on my DHCP server, or I need a new range done, or you got the local IT guy that's got a laptop that he wants a static IP address on, and you're kind of, no, we're not doing that because it's too much manual work. give it back to them. IPAM now can allow you to actually turn around and say, right, jump into the console, add in your reservation, and it will automatically update to DHCP servers for you. So that's the first of the real wins that we got on us. The extensibility that we look at with PowerShell is very, very cool. But like a lot of different tools, the database that we're using internally today is simply a Windows internal database. We've been asking Microsoft to take that and bring that up as far as a full SQL database, so we can take that then and import it into maybe bigger configuration databases and do some cubing and fancier data that's not built into the product. So for now, we're running, as Tyler suggested, little PowerShell scripts that run on a schedule, dump that out into a proper database, and then we can go and do the proper analysis. The other side of that was the stuff that's coming with VMM. So if you've been using VMM 2012, it's got this whole idea of IP address management too. And the theory really is exactly the same. You build your pool, and you can turn around and say that each virtual machine you deploy out here is going to get its IP address out of the pool. But because that's a static assignment, we're really not figuring that out because we're not managing it in DHCP. So IPAM's not really aware of it. But VMM is. So now with this new integration that we're getting with CTP2, we can actually have IPAM come over as far as VMM and says, right, so those virtual machines we're managing, what IPs have they been assigned? And it will update that pool. So we still go back to that central reporting point. And as we get more intelligence into this environment and we get into the newer revisions of this software, you can see this is only going to get a bit better. And that's kind of it. What are we going to do next? Change configuration management, certainly into our system center environments. And then we can also suck in all of our public address space. So we start putting in more comments in there to show us what IPs publicly are being NATed back into machines that are maybe privately assigned, and also integrating things like the bind DNS servers. And we can do that today by just taking the zone files, reformatting it into a CSV, and using the PowerShell to import them back in. So that's pretty much it. Our experience of working with IPAM, it's been extremely painless, and I've got a lot of good reports that previously would have taken me a whole lot of work and time to actually do.
Great. So, well, thanks a lot, Damien, for all of your input during engineering, your testing, your experience with the product, and then for coming and speak with us today.
No, it was a pleasure.
So that is the session. That's the look that we're going to take at IPAM. The two of us are going to be up here doing Q&A for a little while, but I don't want to keep you if you have other places you've got to go. Thanks a lot for your time, everybody. I'd remind you to fill out the evaluation if you can. I'd love to hear what you think about this so that we can make our next presentations better. But thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.